All right. Hi, everybody. We are on Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 11A. We're on page 1222, and we have been going through the laws of group work or the laws of the soul. And we reached the point where it said that these seven laws can be worked out along the line of correspondences. It will be found that the energy of any particular center and that of any one law can be brought into line with each other. So how should we work this? We have been told that something about the rays, and we know the rays that tend to work through the different centers. We know from page 517 of Esoteric Astrology that the first ray works through the head center, the fifth ray through the ajna, usually, the third ray through the throat, the second ray through the heart, the sixth ray through the solar plexus, the seventh ray through the sacral center, and we're given Pluto as the ruler of the base of the spine, but sometimes the fourth ray is found there as well, because it corresponds with the number of petals and with Mercury, number of petals of the base of the spine center, and with Mercury considered as a kundalini in intelligent activity. So if we were to look at the rays which come through the various laws, we might find it this way, that the head center was connected with the law of repulse. The first ray works through that center. That the ajna center was connected with the law of the lower four. The fifth ray works through the law of the lower four, and also there is a fourfold division of the ajna center, two color divisions on with either of the opposing major petals. The law of expansive response, through that the third ray works, and the throat center expresses the third ray. And other rays at different times, it depends. The heart center, the law of magnetic impulse, which expresses the outpouring second ray energy. The solar plexus center, the law of service, and the law of service expresses the sixth ray energy. The sacral center expresses seventh ray energy, and it is through that means that we can link it with the law of group progress. And the base of the spine center, well, what energy does it express? It at different times different things, but we can link the harmonizing fourth ray energy to it, and it will be Mercury or Kundalini in intelligent activity, hence the law of sacrifice. All right, that's one way to do it, and I'm not sure that the rationale necessarily works out the best when we do it that way. Maybe if we think not so much of rays but of other factors, we could do it yet a different way. The law of repulse is connected with Atma, and the head center is also connected with the Atmic plane. Regarding the Ajna center, the law of group progress is about reaching the summit, presumably at the third initiation. And it is there that the mountaintop is connected with the Ajna center. The fifth ray is working through the Ajna center, and it is the fifth ray which is operative at the third initiation. Fifth ray is expressed through the Ajna center, and it is the fifth ray which is operative at the third initiation. Third initiation. Right. Now, when it comes to the throat center, The law of expansive response will connect with the higher mind, or with the abstract mind. The throat center will connect with the third ray and with the abstract mind. And particularly, it is the abstract mind which is involved in the expression of this law and a wide view of the divine plan. With the heart center, maybe we'll keep the same, just as we did with the head center. This is all about soul relations, and it's connected with the Buddhic plane. And is connected with the Buddhic plane. The heart is said to hold the balances, and this is the story of the balance and of the second ray. Of course, it's also possible to link this law of magnetic impulse, possibly through Libra, with the Ajna center, as choice is there made. With the solar plexus center, it seems the aspiration and motivation towards service does involve the solar plexus, and the sixth ray is given through this center. So I think we can retain this. I'm going to jump to the base of the spine center and the law of the lower four, because interestingly, the base of the spine center with its four petals is connected with the four ethers, microcosmically, and with the four higher ethers in the life of the master. It is not fully activated until the fifth initiation, at which point the master has achieved a relatively high stage. He is receptive to logoic and monadic influence and polarized in atmic and buddhic fields. So it's the fourness. The fourness and the connection of the base of spine center with the four ethers, which makes this type of alignment. Now, notice how DK worded things. It can be found that the energy of any particular center and that of any one law can be brought into alignment with each other. Okay, any one center and any one law. It's a peculiar way of wording. We seem to be looking at a particular center and a particular law, but one wonders if he doesn't mean something else, or if he possibly means that each law can work through any one center in a peculiar way. Now, if we go along with the assignment given in the second series, all we have left for the sacral center is the law of sacrifice, and it is basically the selfish, instinctual nature is relinquished. And there are many desires which are focused in the sacral center, and many ancient fears, DK tells us. And there is the sense of survival is connected with this center, procreation, as well as with the base of spine center. Now, of course, the law of sacrifice from the ray point of view, number four, would fit best with the base of spine center. But the law of the lower four, I don't see how we can connect it with the sacral center, so we'd have to rearrange everything. The law of sacrifice could be connected with the base of spine center, because the base of spine center is particularly related to survival. Survival and procreation in the sacral center go hand in hand. One survives through one's progeny. But survival, keeping the vitality in the physical body, is a basal spine center activity. And so we finally sacrifice our life vitality in order to achieve a higher type of sacredness. So, in other words, we give up our instinct for survival in the physical body for the sake of sacrifice. Anyway, these are some ideas. I cannot give a completely definitive correlation, because I think, you know, until one absolutely knows that this is the case, there are ways to justify different kinds of relationships. The ones that seem to be most stable are the service in the solar plexus, magnetic impulse in the heart, and perhaps law of repulse, which connects with the Atma plane, and a very strong first ray with the head center. And in any case, I've given some justifications for this second alignment. The first correlation is based simply on the ray. I suppose, you know, it's possible to consult the signs of the zodiac involved, and if we did, we would find that, for instance, the law of magnetic impulse is a Libran law and would possibly correlate with the Ajna center. The law of service is an Aquarian law, and from that perspective could correlate with the heart center. The law of, well, repulse, it has to do with Pluto, really. And it's an aspect of the heart energy, of the love energy. If it correlated with Scorpio, where would we put it? In relation to the sacral center? And with Pisces, the law of, the law of service with Pisces, well, we can put that in the heart or the solar plexus center. I don't think the correlations with the signs of the zodiac are as good as with the rays and with just general reasoning about the nature of the law concerned. So anyway, there is a little attempt to correlate the seven laws of the soul with the seven centers. And we can continue to work on this, and other people can have different ideas, I think. There's this rising up toward initiation with the Ajna Center. And it, you know, interesting, there's one more thing about this Ajna and the Law of Group Progress. This is also called the Law of Elevation. And via the Ajna Center, the lower energies of the Kundalini and other lower energies are raised up through visualization and general energy direction. So the Ajna and the lifting up of energies to a summit are correlated. Interestingly enough, from the esoteric point of view, the seventh ray rules the Ajna center on the astral plane. Well, there's hardly any ray that we cannot correlate with the Ajna center. One way or another, we can. I think that if people see a common vision, and if they excel, and if they direct their lives forward, they are participating in the law of group progress, and the entire group will rise towards initiation. And initiation really begins at the third degree, which is connected with the Ajna Center. So the entire group rises towards initiation. At first, the Asnicenter can be quite personal, you know, it can represent achieving through personal ambition, but later it does connect with the spiritual triad, I think, and well, there are just different correlations which are possible. One can place the fourth ray at the Ajna Center as well, and it will correlate with buddhi, and therefore the law of group progress and the law of magnetic impulse will be connected, just the way Libra and Capricorn are connected. These are just thought filaments, and some of them seem fairly solid, and others relative and questionable. Well, we have arrived. Well, let's put it like this. We have dealt with the laws of the soul, or the laws of group work, as they are called. And we've looked at the symbolism of each one of these laws, and we've looked at the rays that come through them and how these rays can be correlated with the law. We've seen the exoteric name of the law and the esoteric name of the law, and both hold hints for us. Now, the next thing we have to do, and it cannot be immediately, is to go into the 113-some pages in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, and study these laws with real, with greater depth and greater psychological application. Here, DK is approaching them from a lofty, abstract perspective. And in psychology, he begins actually to deal with their application more to the individual. Here in Cosmic Fire, he deals with their group implications. In Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, some of the individual implications are also brought forward. They are very, and what, one of the things that I was saying before is that these laws, though applicable to the person who has the causal body and is thus working to fulfill his soul in the personality life, are also applicable in a higher way once the causal body is destroyed. And I even tried to show how some of these laws might even pertain to the domain of the monad. You know, the law of sacrifice is preeminent among the laws, and that's why it's listed first. And it operates in some way with Sanat Kumara, the great sacrifice, and with the planetary logos, and presumably all the great beings are involved in some sort of sacrifice, by means of which they extend themselves into the lower worlds for redemptive purposes, even while, in a sense, remaining in their own world. Now, none of what we find here in the very last part of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire is easy. These are all the most abstract considerations, because we are entering the realm of the spirit, the triad and the spirit. And so we don't even have the language for those high levels of human expression, or expression also in the other types of atoms. So it's not going to be familiar to us what we're dealing with, really. And I think this will probably be the case as we go into the 22 methods of group interplay. We have 5 pages of that, and let's see what it's all about. These methods of group interplay can only be grasped through a consideration of the fact that all groups are to be found on one or other of the 7 rays, and that their interaction will therefore be triple. Now, what is he really saying there? Is he saying that each of the 7 rays is triple in manifestation. We certainly know that is the case with the first three rays, and the ninefoldness of the first three rays is brought forward in various ways, and especially when dealing with the spiritual triad and the type of focus the individual may have within that triad. Page 176 and 177 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. But is it also possible that each of the other ray lords has a triple manifestation? Well, it would seem reasonable, as each of these, even the human being, manifests in a triple manner and has three particular rays through which he works. And if we don't consider it from that perspective, we would say at least the human being functions through three aspects, and this is always so. And on each of the three levels, there are three aspects, or there are even four levels with three aspects. But let's just say within the personality, three aspects are expressing through the mind, emotions, and body. Through the soul, three aspects are expressing through the sacrifice, love, and knowledge petals. In the spiritual triad, a distinctive three. Three aspects are expressing through spiritual will, spiritual love, and spiritual intelligence, Atma Buddhi Manas. And as we arrive at the highest of the domains of the spirit, or at least within the ring pass knot of man, the highest domain where spirit expresses, because it does express everywhere, really, we have will, wisdom, and activity. So for any entity, we expect three aspects. An array lord is an entity. We expect three sub-rays of the major rays. Matter of fact, there's good reason to believe that there are seven sub-rays of each ray, not just of the major rays, and hence we get the 49 fires of Brahma. We get the 49 ashrams. This is based on seven sub-rays. The pure ray of which would be the 1-1, or the 2-2, or the 3-3. So I believe this is so for the ray lords as well, this 49-foldness, and these obscure entities called the spirits of darkness, who are, I suppose, electric fire in seven varieties, they too have a 49-fold structure. So I'm seeing there's nothing unexpected or non-correspondential in thinking that there could be three aspects, three major aspects, to each one of the rays or ray lords, and even seven aspects. So all groups are to be found on one or other of the seven rays, and their interaction will therefore be triple, so let's see what this will look like. And see if we can remain open to the associations which arise. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, that's such an important idea, to be open to the associations which arise. We never know what those associations will be. There are many, many triggers, and lines of similarity will be triggered by the words we read, and we will remember what we have read elsewhere, and the possible similarities in structure and in function which will relate to items which we have hitherto not related. So there's a bit of that kind of spontaneous relating going on. So the groups will have, the interaction will therefore be triple. These methods of group interplay can only be grasped through a consideration of the fact that all groups are to be found on one or other of the seven rays. That is, I suppose, from the point of view of their highest expression, which may be just the personality, or in the groups that we try to form, it could be the soul, or in greater groups, monadic groups, perhaps, it will be the monadic ray. So, triple. This must again be regarded as having a triple internal interplay and a triple external interaction. Well, there are six here, are there not? Anything else? No, just six. Interiorly and exteriorly, we have a six-fold interplay or interaction. So we might therefore take the seven rays and give the names for the three ways in which the groups on any particular ray interact with each other. And give the names for the three ways in which the groups on any particular rays. So remembering that as we consider them, we are really studying 21 vibrations of the law of attraction or motion, with a basic vibration, which is the synthesis of the 21 added, which makes the 22. That is so often the occult method, and it gives you the hint that when we say there are seven solar systems, but DK says the next is the sixth and the last, then we have to say that the entire series, occultly, is counted as one and added to the six, and therefore there are seven. So all of these 21 methods together are counted as a synthesis, a oneness, and then that one is added to the 21 to make 22. So we're studying the 21 vibrations of the law of attraction, and basically we're talking about ray interaction on a particular ray. We're not apparently talking about ray interaction from one ray to another. So we're going to take the seven rays and give the names for the three ways in which groups on any particular ray, interact with each other. So these groups, I believe this is what we can say, these groups share the same ray, interact with each other. Remembering that as we consider them, we are really studying the 21 vibrations of the law of attraction. Okay, and then these are the ray methods of activity. And what I will try to do as usual is give associative links. Sometimes I can constellate things with definition, but sometimes I just have to leave the to-be-related loose ends, trusting that the missing links will appear either in your mind or in my mind or in somebody's mind. So ray methods of activity, the ray of power. So this is the first, second, and third sub-aspects. Destruction of forms through group interplay. Remember, we are dealing with groups on any particular ray. Interact with each other. So here's the particular ray, and there are groups all on the same ray, apparently. So we remember the qualities that come out of Shambhala. Destruction is one of them. And the very first factor here is the destruction of forms through group interplay. You might almost think of war. You think of Pluto here and Saturn, another powerful Ray 1 planet, and Uranus, which demands archetypalization will destroy. If it isn't archetypal, it's cast aside. Or Vulcan destroying through a soul spirit pressure. So when the first ray types get together, I guess this is how we can look at it, forms which inhibit the spirit, I mean, we're looking at it in hopefully in a higher sense, but even when they don't know they're doing it, it sometimes works out this way. Forms which inhibit the spirit are destroyed. DK talked about the First World War, and he basically said, well, things... humanity would not have progressed if things had continued as they had been before the First World War, and he painted a pretty dire picture of some eventualities which would have occurred. Now, the selfhood, or the sense of identity is oftentimes connected with the second aspect. In other words, when we say we are a self and we give kind of an ego identity to that self, it's often connected with the second aspect. There is a temple, a ring pass not, which defines our selfhood. So here we are, this is the stimulation of the self so that it may know itself and assert itself. And of course, when this is misused, we have first ray egoism and egotism. Well, let's just call it egotism. Egoism is philosophical. It's based upon a limitation of perception, and egotism is the magnification of that limitation out of all proportion. Stimulation of the self or egoic principle and spiritual impulse or energy. This is phohatic, the power to move. To be the prime mover, prime mover, the energy or force behind all activity. So we have when those groups upon the first ray, and of course we can say that, if I'm understanding this correctly, these qualities can also rub off on or influence other groups, but it says we might take the seven rays and give the names for the three ways in which the groups on any particular ray interact with each other, not interact with groups on other rays. So that seems to be the way that he is approaching this, not interact with groups on other rays. But of course, some of what is said will also, I would say, but some of what is said will also influence those and those groups on other rays. Why the law of attraction, why the law of attraction in all of this? I suppose clearing the way for the unitive. Whoop. Okay, clearing the way for the unitive purpose of the solar logos. Let's keep it within that particular microcosm, or macrocosm, rather. So destruction of forms through group interplay. The first ray respects the idea more than the form, I would say. All right, then. Notice energy, action, impulse. It is dynamic when considering the third factor. We have to look for power, love, and activity in all these three and see how DK may be presenting them. Now, if we go to the interaction between Ray 2 types, and notice that he continues to number them, so we will get, after all, the 21 or 22 we're looking for, construction of forms through group construction. It's the opposite, interestingly, opposite of destruction found in ray one. So the second ray is constructive. And the first ray, destructive. I mean, if we're looking at two categories, which are always found, this is not exclusively so, but okay. And when we see the word stimulation repeated, we do understand that the second ray, or the second position, The second ray position for the first ray uses the word stimulation. The second ray position for the second ray uses the word stimulation. So this is a vitalizing ray. If we turn to page 300, I believe right around there, in esoteric healing, we'll get an idea of how the second ray works in this manner. The Great One poured his life throughout all parts and every aspect of manifestation. From the center to the periphery and from the periphery to the center, he rushed, carrying abundance of life. Sounds like stimulation, doesn't it? Energizing all forms of himself, producing excess of movement, endless extension, abundant growth and undue haste. Not always the qualities we associate with the second ray, are they? But we have to read in many different places in the books and we will fill out our perspective on these rays. He knew not what he wanted because he wanted all. There's such a tendency for the second ray types not to want to prioritize, right? Wanted all, desired all, attracted all, and gave to all too much. And this, of course, leads to various forms of disease. This is the old commentary at work on the second ray. We can learn something about the second ray in relation to what we're studying right now. Stimulation. So check page 299. Check page 299 of Esoteric Healing for text regarding the second ray tendency towards stimulation and even over-stimulation. So here we're dealing with the methods of ray interaction, the names of the three ways in which the groups on any particular ray interact with each other. Interact with each other. That should be a larger one as well. And we're dealing then with modes of ray interaction and what happens in the process of this interaction. The 22 methods of, 22 methods of group interplay. All right. And finally, soul impulse or energy. And when we're dealing with the third ray, you know, right away it says, my energy is great. This is one of the things that it says of the third ray. And through my mind I can display the glory of divinity and so forth. My energy is great. He rolls himself in a veil. Active motion is seen. So it is the ray of activity. It also has some abstract sides to it, which may lead to a certain degree, says DK, of idleness on the outer plane. But generally, there's going to be activity on one level or another. Soul impulse is a very vague term. We can have all kinds of soul impulse, I suppose. But the activating, let's see, the energy of the soul making its impact. And energy and activity go together. So we have construction of forms through group intercourse. When the second ray types get together, and that's what we have seen is happening, they tend to build because it is the second ray is the form-building ray. It magnetically and geometrically attracts a certain pattern of energy, which is the real form, and then gathers the lower types of matter around it. So let's get together and build something, says the second ray types. And maybe the first ray types, although, you know, it's partially a joke, they say, well, let's get together and destroy something, you know. Probably, I know some friends of my brother. He runs a wrecking company. Fantastic. He's got Pluto on the midheaven. I mean, it could make a psychologist. Well, psychologists can be wreckers too, I suppose. And you know, the wrecking ball, it's so Vulcan, it's so Pluto in a sense. It's a first ray way of dealing. You know, let's get together and destroy the form. Let's get together and build the form. There is the interplay is all about let's get together. In other words, we who are of birds of a feather, we have the same ray and we're flocking together and let's do something. What do we do? Well, we stimulate desire first, that's the solar plexus, and then the love principle, that's the heart. So it's the solar plexus and then the love principle or heart and buddhi. Now these are things which could be remembered when we think about how groups on a certain ray tend to interact. We are all involved in groups, and let's just say, do our groups show these tendencies? I suppose if we were members of a commando group or Green Berets or Navy SEALs, we would get together and destroy. We would somehow affirm the self within us in doing so. And there would be spiritual impulse or energy would be coming from the triad or monad, ultimately anyway. And the secondary groups operate differently. Now, with the third ray of activity or adaptability or of abstract mentality or of the ray of, how's it called? Creative, what? Why should I forget that now? Creative intelligence, that's what it is. All right. It's kind of interesting. We could look at the numbers of these different descriptions and see if there's a hint in the numbers as well. So here is the vitalizing of forms through group work. The giving or the conferring of the energy needed to sustain or vitalize or to activate the form. So we're dealing with active and vitality, of course, is related to the first aspect. What we have had three factors. We've had destruction, construction, let's get that right, and vitalization. So you can put the names of the rays, 1, 2, 3, right on those, and they are the very first or the leading factors under each one of these rays. Then stimulation again. How interesting. It's like stimulation is like the word that we could also use, which relates to soul, is animation. Stimulation of forms, the etheric or pranic principle, count from the mind is ray one, the desire nature ray two, the etheric nature ray three. So there's going to be impulses coming in relation to. Yes, notice the shared words. This is very important. Impulse is found in ray two, and impulse is found in ray one. So notice the shared words, because they will tell you something about the quality of energy. Stimulation. Okay, I'm going to say this here. Note the shared words. And so far we have stimulation for ray two and impulse for ray three. And we have great opposites, construction, destruction, vitalization. So there's nothing shared there in the first member of each one of these. the vitalizing of forms, but notice the emphasis is now on forms and not on the indweller, right? Emphasis is on the form and not on the indweller. Stimulation of forms through the etheric or pranic principle, and basically without the etheric pranic principle at work. By the way, both of them can be principles. The etheric body and prana, both are sometimes counted as principles, though one is more static and structural and the other is more dynamic. The prana is dynamic. Stimulation of forms and not of the internal principle of desire and love. But it's more external. And finally, material impulse. So let's compare the kinds of impulses that we have had, because we will find the archetypes here when dealing with the first three rays. We have had spiritual impulse, soul impulse, and material impulse. Is that correct? Soul impulse, right. So there's an activity. An impulse is a movement. Is that which impels activity. Impulse is an energy which impels activity. It gets things moving. So the word impulse is shared in each one of the third ray, the second ray, and the first ray descriptions for the third sub-method of group interaction under the particular rays. All right. So here we have, you know, the movement towards the activity which externalizes. And this is, under the second ray, it's a movement towards the activity which makes the soul expressive and visible. And in the first ray, it's the movement towards the activity which brings the spirit into expression, and which is the prime mover of all. Now, we do have the rays of attribute here to consider also. What do we have? Perfecting of forms. See, what I'm noticing here, the first word in the sentence, or at least construction, vitalization, destruction, the first word in the first subsection on any ray, for any ray, is a descriptor of the quality of that ray. What do we have so far? So far, we have destruction, construction, we're learning something here, construction, vitalization, and perfection. Interesting that Jupiter is the perfecting planet in a way. In other words, if perfection is wholeness, Jupiter is the perfecting planet. If perfection is beauty, then Venus is the perfecting planet. But this Jupiter's glyph reminds us of the number four very, very definitely. So we don't know whether this will hold up through all these modes of group interplay, but at least so far it is so. Perfecting of forms through group interplay, and then this reminds us that ray four is called the perfecter of the form. Well, actually, you know, it's called the corrector of the form, but it might be called the perfecter of the perfector of the form. And the fourth city on the atmic plane is called perfection. So that is what the artist looks for, or the artist of life, the proper, harmonious, perfected interplay of all factors. We have to think that all archetypes have a great deal of this fourth ray in them. The archetype has a great deal of fourth ray because it is a perfect form. All right, because. So perfecting. Now, again, we're going to use the word stimulation. Stimulation of the solar angels or the monastic principle. Well, this is interesting. There is a systemic law related to the fourth ray. And let's see, it's called Law of Magnetic Control, and is related to the control of by the solar angels of the lower man. We'll have to review that, of course. I'd like to review it verbally, if possible, but at least it's done in a written form so far. So up till now, you know, we should compare these across the board, really. That would be the way to do it. Maybe I can prepare that for us. I'll see if I know what to do with word 10. But stimulation of the self, and this is the inner man, stimulation of the desire or the love principle, which is consciousness, I suppose, stimulation of forms. And now, with regard to forms, stimulation of that middle being, the solar angel, or the monastic, not only the monastic principle, but the love principle, or the one who at least implants the spark of mind for the growth of the monastic principle and the rendering of it, the spiritualizing of the mind rather than just the concretizing of the mind, or the mind used to recognize the self. So we have so far the self, the soul, the form. We have had the self, the soul, the form, and now the solar angel. Quite interesting that the solar angel would be connected with the I will call the angels to my aid. So the Blessed One paused and considered. Well, he paused and did something. Let's see what he did. This is in Esoteric Psychology 2. The Blessed One paused. And what did he do? Questioned. Whence come the victory and whence the defeat? Am I not the Blessed One himself? I will call the angels to my aid. So again, we have the fourth ray monad in this case, connected with the solar angels. I will call the angels to my aid. And the likeness or the similarity of man and angel occurs on the fourth plane. The equilibrizing, equilibrium, okay, come on, equilibrizing of man and angel occurs on plane 4, the Buddhic plane. Okay, equilibrizing. I'll just use that. And then when it comes to the impulse, what will the impulse be? Well, we don't use the word impulse, but it will be Buddhic energy. Up till now, we've had, in a general way, material impulse, soul impulse, and spirit impulse. So it'll be always good to summarize what we have had up to this point. So we have had spiritual impulse, soul impulse, and material impulse, and now as if these three came from the first, three systemic planes, we have buddhic impulse from the fourth plane, associated with the fourth ray. So, you know, how much are solar angels really connected with the fourth ray in a generic sense? And I would say, you know, they certainly do perfect the man. And they have a lot to do with the fourth initiation, and their freedom is achieved at the fourth initiation. And man's minor solar angelhood is achieved at the fourth initiation. He gets his wings, so to speak. It doesn't mean that every human being will take the path to Sirius and become a solar angel, but he has risen to the feet of the solar angel. And interesting about the feet, they are often winged feet. Mercury represents the winged feet. I'm going to put that down as an association. Mercury, winged feet. Fourth initiation. The wings of man and the wings of the solar angel. All those. What I sometimes like to do is to put down in some not yet thoroughly related constellation a number of associated factors which reveal, which could be properly constellated, but I'm waiting for them to gel, so to speak. I'm waiting for the gestalt to appear. If I find similarities, I put these similarities down and wait for them to connect with each other, perhaps through some intuitive impulse. So, the stimulation of the solar angels. And I suppose, from this point of view, if this is about group interplay, then groups on the fourth ray would find the group soul strongly stimulated and would receive from the associated solar angels due to group interplay. In other words, group soul would be stimulated by group interplay of those in fourth ray, that's fifth ray, fourth ray groups. So perfection of forms. Notice we are in the realm of form very definitely because we have passed through the third ray. So let's see if that holds up. We are in the realm of form, having passed the third ray. And we have to remember that all these rays of attribute, 4, 5, 6, 7, really are, after all, parts. They are parts of the of Brahma. They are parts of the third ray. This is all interesting, and I'd like to make a map here. I wonder if maybe I could do that. Maybe I could do that shortly, you know. Let's see how it all looks. We go to the ray of concrete knowledge. So correspondence of forms to type through group influence. So somehow, this is interesting, getting the form to correspond to the archetype. Okay, well, this is not some elegant word like destruction, construction, vitalization, and perfection, but maybe the word is correspondence. So let's just see what we've had so far. Sorry. So far, destruction, construction, that's the R, vitalization, perfection, and maybe we'll just use correspondence. Can it be that it won't tell the whole story, but at least it's an important part of the sentence, can it be then that when we operate through the law of correspondences, we do use quite a bit of the fifth ray. Of course, we always use the analogically related fourth ray, yes. This is like that. But then to get all the details and sequester the details so we know what role they play in any hole and then what corresponding role they can play in a different hole, maybe that requires the fifth ray. Aha, aha. Correspond dance. Is it dense? Aha, I see what the problem is. Okay. Correspondence. Right. So correspondence of forms to type. Now, oftentimes I've thought of that as a seventh ray function, but you want a lower form to reflect perfectly a higher form. Well, this seems, again, like a seventh ray factor, but what are the particulars? And oftentimes, technical particulars, which will make this correspondence possible. Again, we have stimulation. Stimulation of the logoic dense physical body, the three worlds. Now, dense. Well, there's the etheric physical body and the dense physical body. There are two types of physical bodies. The etheric and the dense. But the dense of the dense is really the systemic etheric physical plane. The dense of the logoic dense is the systemic etheric physical body. So before we stimulated, what did we stimulate? We stimulated the spirit. Well, we stimulated not exactly spirit, self, that's what it was. Self, desire, love, forms, solar angels, and now the dense, or the lowest of the periodic vehicles, as it is sometimes referred to. What have we stimulated before? Let's make a list. What have we stimulated in the foregoing? Self, desire, love, form, solar angels. Did we stimulate the solar angels? Let's see. Stimulation of the solar angels, yes? And now, the dense physical body of the Logos. Dense physical body. That's not it. Of the Logos. So far. Now, is the fifth ray related to density? Well, it's certainly related to concretion. It's certainly related to compression. Let's just say fifth ray related to concretion, compression, mineralization, it has so many similarities with the seventh ray, but it does, and to precipitation. We're told that the plethora of unnecessary things is due to the fifth ray and not the seventh. That may be considered unusual, and you know, we have kind of a fifth ray idea here with Vulcan connected to the mineral kingdom and connected both to the first ray as well. So it is that quite a number of Vulcanians like to work with the mind as it applies to matter. And they know the methods and the techniques of working with mind and matter. So stimulation of the logoic dense physical vehicle, I would have thought this would have been related to the seventh ray, but the three lower worlds are exactly that. The mental, emotional, and physical plane are the three aspects of the which are gaseous, liquid, and dense of the logoic physical body. So somehow, yeah, there's a vitalization that goes on here. The impartation of living, sustaining energy. And the fifth ray is so concrete, it may have to do with preserving that physical body. It's so concrete that it can relate to the preservation of the dense physical body. Dense physical body. Let's see. Dense physical body. Yeah, there it is. And now instead of Buddhic energy or impulse, we have monastic energy and impulse. What kind of energies or impulses have we had? What kind of energies or impulses so far? Spiritual energy or impulse, soul, material, Buddhic, and now monastic. Okay. Okay, so this is manas, and it may even relate to higher manas, not just to lower manas. It is the stimulation towards knowledge. Now, have we had yet atmic impulse? Is that what is meant by spiritual impulse here? Spiritual impulse or energy? Because, in a way, does this relate to atma? We have to ask. Does the word spiritual relate to atma? Because the spiritual plane specifically is the atmic plane. Spiritual plane is the atmic plane, also called nirvanic, also the plane of spiritual will. So, spiritual plane, nirvanic, and plane of spiritual will so far. Okay. Now, let's see what else we may have. Oh, what we have is the need to stop. This is the end of Cosmic Fire, webinar commentaries, number 11A, and we are on, what page are we on? Page 1223, I suppose. Looks like it. Where was I when I was ending this? Okay. That was not in the right place. So let's get that in the right place. We're down here right before the sixth ray group interaction. So, right here. And beginning, that was 1223. hand. Okay. No, that's not it. Hopefully this is it. Beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 11B, page 1223. Okay. Good.